State lawmakers this spring are considering all sorts of thorny issues related to legalizing recreational marijuana. Near the top of that list is traffic safety. Will legal marijuana lead to more impaired drivers? The answer is important not only to drivers and law enforcement, but insurance companies as well. Insurance companies like State Farm. I spoke with Insurance Information Institute Senior Research Specialist Lucien McMahon via Skype about his new study on what we know and don't know about marijuana and impaired drivers.
We decided that we wanted to document the current state of knowledge around recreational marijuana and its potential impacts on traffic safety. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there about the mechanics of both marijuana impairment and recreational legalization's impacts on traffic safety. There's a lot of, I guess you can say, a lot of smoke in the air around you know, what those impacts are. And we just wanted to get a lay of the land and see what's out there currently and try to, you know, offer both the public and insurance professionals a sort of one place where they can go to try to educate themselves about this issue, because I think it's an important one, not only from an insurance perspective, but also from a public policy perspective and a public health perspective.
I guess let's kind of cut to the chase then. Based on this research, in those states that have legalized marijuana, are they seeing more traffic crashes as a result?
You know, it's a complicated story. So I can take a little step back. So we know stone driving is dangerous to some extent. I mean, it's an intoxicant. Smoking marijuana or consuming it in other forms, it does impair, you know, cognitive and motor skills, you know, including reaction time and situational awareness. But the extent to which stone driving is dangerous and whether it's actually impacting traffic safety and how public policy should react, sort of complicated issues. So to your question, are we seeing an increase in traffic accidents? The Highway Loss Data Institute in the past couple of years has been putting out analyses trying to look at, okay, in states where we have legal recreational marijuana, when compared to similar states with non-legal recreational marijuana and controlling for all sorts of various things, including population, driving population, things like that, do we see an increase in the claim frequency, collision claim frequency in those states? And the answer is, it appears to be the case, yes, that there is perhaps some increase in overall crash frequency in those states. It varies pretty dramatically from state to state, however. So if you look at Washington State, for example, has seen about a 12.5% increase in collision claim frequency when compared to non-legal states. But you go to another state such as Oregon, and that number, it's less than 1% increase, which is not statistically significant. Those analyses have said overall, we've seen about a 6% increase, but it varies state by state. It's still very early going in terms of what the actual impact is, but I think it's safe to say at this juncture that there is probably an impact on at least collision frequencies in states with legal recreational marijuana, all things being equal.
THC in marijuana plants is what causes intoxication in a user. THC levels, though, may not be an accurate indication of impairment, though, because of what's called the THC persistence. Can you kind of explain that and why that's important to understanding this issue?
THC is the intoxicant in marijuana products. But there's two problems with trying to use THC levels to determine impairment, kind of like we currently do with alcohol and blood alcohol content. So the first issue is that THC levels during a user's impairment do not actually track the levels of that user's impairment. So if you were to look at a graph, what you'd see is an extremely precipitous increase in THC levels within the first few minutes of consumption. And then over time, those levels basically falling off a cliff. But then if you were to take that sort of spike and then immediate drop and then overlayer it with an actual user's impairment, what you'd see is the user's impairment for smoked marijuana would also spike pretty quickly. but would continue to increase over time as the THC levels had already dropped to very, very low levels. And in fact, the user's impairment will continue over time when, even when the THC levels are fairly low. So that's one issue where actual intoxication does not map with THC levels, unlike with blood alcohol content, right? If you were to look at that same graph, but this time with the blood alcohol content, what you'd see is BAC will increase. Alcohol impairment will also increase pretty much in lockstep with BAC and will also decline at roughly the same rate. So BAC is actually a very useful proxy, I guess you could say, for alcohol impairment. THC levels by themselves are not an accurate or reliable indicator of a user's impairment.
So that's got to be one of the main reasons that there is no agreed upon impairment limit that can be used state to state, the equivalent of a 0.08 BAC on a breathalyzer.
Absolutely. And these issues, it's kind of resulted in states taking a sort of scattershot approach. The THC issue definitely pervades the way in which different states are trying to address stone driving on their roads.
We're an insurance town here. We've got the headquarters for State Farm and Country Financial just down the street. What does all of this mean for the insurance industry? If more and more states like Illinois legalize marijuana, what is the potential impact on claims, premiums, all that kind of stuff?
Well, if the current trends that we are seeing, in which collision claim frequencies go up, it stands to reason that claims will go up, and there is a chance that premiums for drivers across the state would then be impacted. If it does turn out to be the case that recreational marijuana legalization does increase claims frequencies by a pretty significant amount, you could start seeing the actual premiums across that state going up.
A lot of your research is was identifying what are the things that we know, what are the things we don't know, as you put it, kind of documenting the current state of knowledge. If you could wave like a magic wand and someone could hand you a peer-reviewed big study that answered a question that you stumbled across in this research, where is the most important knowledge gap that we need to fill here?
So I think there's three broad issues that are really impacting our ability to come to very concrete conclusions around this, both from a traffic accident perspective, how to figure out just how dangerous stone driving is. Many studies are all over the place. Some will say, your crash risk will go up significantly if you're driving under the influence. Others will say, maybe a moderate increase. Others will actually find no increase. So a lot of question marks around, okay, how risky is stone driving actually? And then if you think about, fatal crash rates, we really have almost no idea what's going on with fatal crash rates as a result of recreational legalization, media reports notwithstanding. And I think the reason why there's so many question marks around this is threefold. One, the issue of THC impairment and testing, right? So it's difficulty in determining when someone is actually impaired is a very powerful brake on us being able to come to further conclusions. So first, testing. Second issue is the difficulty in many of the studies that I've come across in controlling for what's called concurrent other drug use. So in many cases, particularly in the fatal crash rates analyses that you'll see out there, in many cases, studies either don't control or can't control for a driver testing positive for other substances, so particularly alcohol. And we know that when users mix alcohol and marijuana, the impairment profile is significantly different than when consuming either substance individually. And when I mean it impacts the impairment profile, I mean the person becomes significantly more intoxicated when mixing those two substances than they would otherwise. And the third is that the recency of legalization means that a robust data that we can feel really confident about is still lacking. I mean, the first states didn't legalize until they passed their ballots back in 2012, which seems like a long time ago. but we know how long sometimes data can lag. And then the issue of actually collecting the right data that is actually useful for future analyses is still only underway right now. So for example, in Colorado, they overhauled their data collection for fatal crash rates and THC to try to be a little bit more robust with that data collection. But even then, they could not control for concurrent other drug use. So being able to actually come to any conclusions about the data they're collecting, I think it's still far too early.
That's Lucien McMahon, Senior Research Specialist with the Insurance Information Institute. The Institute is funded by the insurance industry itself, including State Farm.